Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. Today we're joined by pharmacist Steve Ursfield from North Dakota. Thank you for joining us today, Steve.
Hey, pleasure to be on the radio show.
So first of all, for our listeners who don't know you, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure, yep. I've been a pharmacist for 36 years, my 36 years in the practice. I'm a second generation pharmacist. My dad started our pharmacy 42 years ago. I have three uncles, a cousin. I've got a daughter that's a pharmacist. So kind of pretty entrenched in our family, the pharmacy. So my pharmacy's been compounding medications for 26 years, so quite a long time now. And we started incorporating nutrition into our practice about 2005. So we kind of come to the table for our patients with plenty of different tools to help them in different ways: traditional prescriptions, compounded medications, dietary supplements. Really enjoy having the ability to have plenty of tools to help our patients and providers to get their patients to a better spot. So, yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm just enjoying practice. I enjoy my job. My team here at the pharmacy is incredible, and we are just helping a lot of patients.
So what's your pharmacy called, and whereabouts is it located?
It is, my dad got really crazy with the name, Ursfeld Pharmacy. That's my last name. So we are located in the southwest part of North Dakota. It's Dickinson, North Dakota. So out very rural. I did a 75-mile radius of our pharmacy, there is like 50,000 people in that 75-mile radius from our pharmacy. So when I tell people it's pretty rural, it's pretty rural.
So which states do you ship to?
We're licensed in Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, Minnesota, and then one of our good providers that we worked with that lived up in North Dakota moved to Arizona, and we're a provider down in Arizona as well. So six different states. Got a lot of different practitioners that we work with in those states. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have interviewed you before, so could you tell us, you know, in the period from last time, what improvements, what's happened in the pharmacy? What would you say?
Yeah, that's been a while. I'd say like 6 years, maybe. It's been a long time. I think the biggest thing is our knowledge of how to help patients find an optimal dose, how to work with them, how to partner with them, knowing side effects, knowing what type of reactions to look for. I think just my staff and I are just more knowledgeable in ways to help our patients differently. You know, we've one of the things that we've developed is a follow-up program that utilizes a CRM, a customer relationship management software. It's called Keap, KEAP. We found that to be real helpful. We when we get a new LDN patient, what we do is we enroll them in this follow-up program. So they'll get like an introductory email with information about LDN. And then they get text messages, and the text messages send them to our symptom tracker. So they're rating 18 different symptoms. We know LDN works on, 16 different receptors. We learned that from Sebastian in his last talk here. 16 different receptors, so it's affecting tons of different areas in our bodies. So we're tracking a bunch of different areas. And then the CRM also will prompt us to make follow-up calls. So we've got a queue that every day we've got patients that drop into that queue. that we're just calling them, checking in, seeing if they're having side effects, seeing if they're getting benefit from the medication, seeing if we need to help them adjust doses to, once again, optimize that medication. So that's been a huge driver for us to help more patients and really retain more patients in our business. So
what would you say the main conditions that your patients take LDN for?
That's a loaded question, Linda. You know that, there's 140 listed on the LDN research website.
That, I think. So they take it for everything and anything, basically.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually working with city government here to try and get it in the water. I'm just joking.
I know.
I think I always go back to that one patient that I had that came in, and she'd been a patient with us for quite a long time. And I just was visiting with her and said, "Oh, how's it going?" And she said, "Well, you know, I have stiff person syndrome." I'm like, "Stiff person syndrome? I think, does Celine Dion have that too?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So, I, you know, typically back then, I was quite a long time ago, I'd hop on the symptom, I'd hop on the LDN Research Trust website, pull up the conditions, typed in stiff person syndrome, and lo and behold, stiff person syndrome was there. So we got her on the LDN, and, you know, one of the things that happened was she knocked her diazepam Valium dose from like 40 milligrams a day down to 10 milligrams a day. And, you know, she was getting better quality of life with that. So I always look at that one that was kind of like jeepers, you know, this is just a strange condition that I've never heard of that people are treating it for. So lots of pain management. We do a ton with pain management, fibromyalgia, a lot of autoimmune conditions. We're working with some psych groups with depression and anxiety, some things like that. And then we also have been working with ultra-low-dose naltrexone to help patients transition off opioids. So that's been kind of fun. I think we've gotten 17 of 19 patients off of opioids that we've worked with. Not a huge population,
isn't it? Even for one patient, it's a big deal.
It is. Yep. So it's just a variety of patients, and it doesn't seem like a day goes by when somebody calls with a question and you start chatting with them, and lo and behold, low dose naltrexone pops up in the conversation, right? So it's just been so much fun to work with.
So do you have practitioners that are prescribing LDN for children?
We do. We don't have, I wouldn't say we have any pediatricians that would be fully on board, but we do work with a handful of pediatric patients. We have one in particular that I think has been on it for 8 years for eczema. Like I remember his mom talking about how he didn't like to go out in the summer with shorts on because his legs were all, you know, red and irritated and scratched up and things like that. So he didn't really wear shorts in the summer and didn't like to go swimming and things like that. So we got him on this product, and, you know, go to the pool and enjoy summer and wear shorts. And you think about those little things that, those wins that we have on patients, and, you know, how really you're really affecting their quality of life immensely. So
that's amazing. So you have children on it, you have adults on it. What about pets? Do you have any veterinarians?
We don't, you know, that's an area that we just haven't really cracked into, I guess. You know, we've been busy in other areas, and it's not, we don't have a huge vet practice per se. So we haven't gotten down that rabbit hole a lot. Wound care, we really haven't gotten into that, which I know I've seen some presentations on wound care that have been pretty pretty amazing. But I don't know, it's just, there's
You
so
say that you're in the country, so I'm visualizing all these trees, open land, many places that people could walk a dog.
Oh yeah. No, I think, every
And
time I talk
if they're dog owners, they must see a vet.
every time I talk to you, you give me more homework. So I don't know if I'm gonna call you, or just I'm gonna just ghost you when I get that call or email from you, because you're making me work harder, Linda.
It's a big deal, and it works for, skin problems. It also helps with, or can help, be you can't give people false hope, but dogs that have cancer, I've heard some really good stories. I'm not saying it works for every animal, but it could do. And some dogs have neurological issues, gut issues, all that kind of thing. So next time I interview you, we will talk about how many pets do you have on your
Many
books?
pets are we working with? It's funny because I had a black lab for 13 years, and probably the last 3 years, we had him on high dose prednisone. This was before we knew about LDN. And I think back to that, and how itchy and licking and all that stuff. And I know that LDN would have been a good option for him at that point. So
Yes.
yeah. So yeah, another avenue to pursue, Linda.
Well, I think it's amazing over the years, we know of gastroenterologists, pain specialists, cardiologist, dermatologist, neurologist, oncologists, and these are people who aren't just Western medicine, they're at the top of their field of Western medicine. And I think it's so amazing that they can stand back and say, I don't know what to do for this patient. I've tried everything. There is nothing more I can do. There must be something. And then they either a patient has been doing well and they say, what have you done differently? Oh, I'm taking LDN. And that they are open-minded enough to actually look into LDN, ask the questions. And I think that's amazing, because if you get just one prescriber who understands LDN, knows how to prescribe it, just think of all those patients, they can help. And then they talk to colleagues, because you get these cases that you just go, wow, how did that happen? And you don't keep it to yourself, do you? When you mix with other doctors, it's a case of, I had this patient, it was just amazing, the results. And it's word of mouth, very slow word of mouth around the world, I must admit. It could have been quicker. But I would say we've gathered momentum. And I think with the latest protocols of going extremely low and slower than we were before, the fallout rate isn't as great. And it's made side effects virtually non-existent for most people. What side effects are your patients saying they're getting? And is it because they're on a higher dose, or are they increasing the dose too quickly, causing side effects?
Yeah, I think that's made a big difference, is the way we dose things or the way we help our patients. So in our state, we have the ability, I don't know if you have this in the UK, where you can do collaborative practice agreements with your providers. So we can do those with MDs and nurse practitioners. And what that does is basically they turn over the dosing to us. So we have our standard protocol is we're going to dose half of a milligram, and then we'll increase by half of a milligram every week up to 4.5 milligram. And some of the things that we tell them at the offset. So it's, prepping your patient is a key, because we know this is not like any other drug where we're hoping to get an effect tomorrow, right? So the expectation of what that patient is expecting to get with the medication. We explained to them that it's a marathon and not a sprint. You know, they need to be prepared that, you know, they're going to continue to get improvement over time. And we learned from Sebastian in his talk that can be up to 24 months they can continue to show improvement. But when they start off, I always start off and just tell them three things. So first thing is, if nothing happens, don't panic, because we're titrating the dose. We're hoping to get in a benefit. So we'll just keep walking up that dosing ladder. Second thing would be is if we hit a home run and 0.5 milligram was your dose and you loved it and everything was great, and it makes us look really smart because then we don't have to do anything. You know, pretty fun. Third thing would be side effects. And if you know, I would say probably 95% of our patients are fine at 0.5 milligram, but we have some outliers, more sensitive patients that if they get side effects, we're gonna pull that dose back and start at a lower dose. And those would be like vivid dreams. You know, vivid dreams and nightmares. Nightmares vary infrequently, but every once in a while. And you know, the whole uptick of endorphins that we're getting by temporarily blocking that opioid receptor is so huge for most patients, but for some, I think it's just a little overwhelming, and they can get some anxiety, maybe some insomnia, maybe some headaches. You know, some people get constipation, some people get diarrhea, you know, both ends of the spectrum. Or if they just feel kind of crappy, like flu-like without having the flu, those are signs to me that, you know what, we gotta rethink our dosing. And the same thing when they're walking up that dosing ladder, if they start to spill into those type of side effects, we've probably gone too far and blown through that dose. I always look at myself when I started mine. First of all, I couldn't take mine at bedtime because it was messing with my sleep. So I flipped it over, took it in the morning. That was great. So back then I was like 1.5, 3, 4.5 was the titration schedule we were using. So I got to 3 and then increased to 4. And then, you know, for about a week there, I was just kind of feeling yucky, you know. But I talk about this every day at work, you know. So you'd think that I would know that, you know, maybe the dose increase caused me to not feel so good. And you know, I backed it down to 3, and that's just kind of where I've stuck for a couple of years now. But you know, when you're in it, sometimes you need a reminder. And I think that's, you know, us holding their hands, walking with them, making sure that our lines of communication are open to them, that they can call us anytime if they don't, you know, feel like something's not right. That's a huge part of getting people to a good dose and trying to figure out what's going on. So, yeah, side effects are just telling us a little story, and that story is we gotta figure out the dose and get it right.
And you said 4.5. Do you go any higher than 4.5?
Yep. So I would say probably the vast majority of our patients are in that sphere of 0.5 to 4.5 milligram. But you know, we don't end the titration at 4.5. If they're like, yeah, I might feel better, I think it could do more, we'll either continue that titration from 4.5 and keep adding to dose there, or we'll flip a, you know, we'll give them some to try at the other end of the day, maybe a 0.5 milligrams at the other end of the day. You know, we do have some patients that take it up to 3 times a day. So we're just kind of hunting and pecking and trying to figure out, you know, where's this optimal dose going to end up being. And you know, we were talking a little bit about this, but I don't think there's, you know, doing this for 36 years, I don't think we've ever had a drug where we're like, all right, we're going to turn this over to the patient, really rely on them for the feedback of what's going on with it, and put them in the driver's seat of this thing, which is unique in the drug world, in the pharmacy world. But I think it's really the best for the patient, and the best way to get an optimal outcome for them is to have them be, you know, an integral part of that process. You know, I think the same thing goes with, you know, I mean, typically when you think about a side effect to a drug, when we have that, we pretty much are going to say, yeah, you can't take that drug. So in this instance, you know, you get a side effect to the drug, it's telling us something. It's another clue to trying to figure this patient out. And and which is unique. And we, you know, all those sort of things were going into prepping that patient for that. You know, side effects aren't bad. They're just telling us something. We have to react to that. So I think it's just the drug is just so unique in so many ways. And it's been fun, really fun to work with patients. You know, I was telling you earlier, I had a patient call me yesterday, said, "You realize that you improved my quality of life 1,000%." It's like, wow, to hear that, you know, to hear a 55, 60-year-old guy say that, you know, when you think about, you know, we get these patients that have a pain level of 8 to 10 and they're 25 years old. Linda, I can't even imagine that, you know, thinking about, you know, they're probably just thinking about, I got to get to the end of the day. But to think, what's life going to be like for 20 to 30 years? And I'm just, you know, my heart goes out to those patients, and I'll do anything to try and get them to a place where they're feeling better or have that quality of life back. But yeah, it's crazy.
Before we go, because we've just about run out of time, but could you tell us about the patients that you've helped to come off of opioids?
Yeah. So what we do when we work with those patients is we're first of all, I think the key with this is finding patients that are motivated, that want to get off their opioid. I can't, you know, it's like any other addiction. If somebody doesn't want to stop doing what they're doing, and I don't want to preface that because I don't, you know, are these patients addicted to them or are they just on them by chance for pain or whatever? I don't want to just say that they're addicted patients, but they gotta want to come off that medication. And if they have a desire to do that, we work with them to facilitate that. So we start off with microgram doses of naltrexone. We use it in a liquid form because it's easier to compound that way. So we use like a microgram twice daily while we take away 10% of their opioid. And then we just march down the ladder. Every week we're going to take away 10% opioid. We're gonna double that dose of naltrexone. And then once we get them off of the opioid, and you know, keep in mind at ultra low dose naltrexone, that is going to actually make the opioid work better. So the first 5 week time period is pretty darn easy for them because, you know, by about the time they get to week five, they're probably at the same dose that they would have been at full dose. You know, if you think about that. So the last half of the program sometimes a little bit more difficult, but you know, most of the time these patients are having to be institutionalized for them to come off these medications. So we're getting them off the medication. We're ramping up the low dose side of it to get to therapeutic levels of that. And you know, you just hear these patients talk about how, like, my brain, I can think, you know, think clearly. I get my, you know, things start to happen that are just like they're just feeling wonderful. And not to have that stigma of being on an opioid, of having to go to the pharmacy every month and get that prescription. And what do I do if I go on vacation or if it's a longer weekend and I, you know, running out? And it's just a they're in a bad spot. And if there's something we can do to help them get better and get off the medication, we're going to try our best to do that. So yeah,
I
it's
know
been
it's
a
all individual, how long a time frame? What's the quickest you've got somebody off, and what's the longest?
I think we've gotten some patients off in about a 6 week time period. I would say maybe 12 to 14 weeks is our longest. We are working with a couple of Suboxone patients that we got into. That's a whole different ball game because the half-life of Suboxone is like 30 hours. And we're kind of gotten them down to about like 1/6 of their Suboxone dose, and we can't get them off. And I was actually just dialoguing with Sebastian here about a week ago, talking about what are we going to do for these patients. So one of the things that we're thinking about doing is possibly giving them back a short-acting opioid, getting them off the Suboxone, and then get weaning them off of the opioid, because it's just far easier to do that than to get them. Suboxone is has helped so many patients get off opioids, right? So it does its job and people are able to function and all those sort of things, but it's a tough drug if people want to get off of that to transition out. So working on some with some patients and providers to try and do that, it's I'm hoping at some point we'll have some success in that area.
Well, I'm not a pharmacist. This might be a ridiculous question, but would there be any way of compounding Suboxone, but to make it so it was fast release rather than slow?
It has to do so. Half-life of a drug is the time for it for your body to get rid of half of that medication. So, opioids in general have a short half-life, like about 4 hours. They get in and out of the system. It takes like six half-lives for you to technically kind of have it fully out of your system. So, if you think about that, it's like 180 hours to get it out of fully out of your system. So we're working up against that.
But
And
is there
it's
no way that the Suboxone composition could be changed to make it leave the system quicker? Or would that just be impossible?
I think the only way that you could possibly do it would be to just make it in a lower strength and a lower strength and just slow
Okay.
off that. But it's still, I had one of our patients, this is prior to us doing any of this, she had been down to like 1/16th of a tablet
Wow.
and just could not get off of it. And finally, she had a friend come over for a long weekend and sat with her and helped her cope through this withdrawal of it and got off of it. But that's the hard part of it.
That's
It's
horrible.
like,
So
it's kind
what are the symptoms of withdrawal with Suboxone?
of, I think that would be very similar to any of the other ones. I mean, you know, you're sweaty, clammy, anxiety, you know, all those things that you would see if you're going off that.
But you'd think with such a low dose, 1/16th of a tablet, it would be minimal, wouldn't you?
Well, I do think, and this is my theory, when we take drugs, whether it's an opioid, Suboxone, or whether we eat food or whatever we're doing to get that dopamine hit, I just remember her telling me it just felt like she was just like, and she didn't have that 1/16th of a tablet. And I'm thinking, you know, that dopamine hit is something that we have to take into consideration. And I think that's why the naltrexone, a low-dose naltrexone, naturally increasing dopamine is a great transition from an opioid to naltrexone, because, you know, once if you just stop an opioid, now all of a sudden you don't get any dopamine, right? Now we're going to transition you to low dose naltrexone. Now you're getting some dopamine, which is making you feel better. People naturally feel better when they've got dopamine. It's a reward neurotransmitter. I think to me, that's why maybe our success rate getting 17 out of 19 patients off of opioids, I think that's part of the success of that, is that it can easily be transitioned off of them and onto something that's going to increase endorphins and all these other great things that it's going to do for us. So.
I can remember talking to a gentleman who was an alcoholic and he'd been taking high dose naltrexone. Now, there are some psychiatrists who use it for alcohol addiction, but low dose naltrexone, not the full dose. And he said he'd never felt so ill in his life as taking, 3 50-milligram tablets of naltrexone, because obviously it blocked all the dopamine. And he said he just felt completely flat. He said it was the most awful feeling ever. He couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I've heard of patients not feeling well on the high dose, so
Yeah.
but yeah.
But the idea is to help and support these people so that they don't go back and start taking whatever substance they were taking, whether it was alcohol or pills or whatever, and start to go backwards and increase the dose. You know, that would be terrible. But
Yeah.
we're at the end, and thank you so much, Dee. I'm sure we could sit here and talk all day.
For sure. Yeah,
So,
definitely.
yeah, the next one is a webinar
Oh.
where not only I can ask you questions, but you can have the whole audience asking you questions too.
We'll see if we'll see how that goes, Linda. Yeah. We'll see. I know, like I said, every time I visit with you, you give me more homework. So I'm off to more homework, I guess, huh?
Well,
Well,
webinar and bets. There we
yeah.
go.
One last thing. I think the one of the things that I find this whole process of getting patients on naltrexone, low dose naltrexone is I think a lot of these patients have lost hope. A lot of them just have been around the block, have seen multiple providers, maybe not gotten anywhere with them. And they come to us and they're lacking hope. And I do truly think that we are dispensing hope to them. I mean, when you get off a consultation with a patient that you've talked to them for 20 minutes on, and you can just feel that they have hope back and that they're going to get some relief and get better. I think that's the bottom line. And that's just it's a beautiful thing. And we're just fortunate to have this tool to help our patients. So thank you for all you do to get the word out there and to help patients. It's like incredible. You're amazing.
Thank you. We'll speak to you again soon, Steve. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.